the Word. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for moms and the heart that you have given them, the part that they have played in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that you would minister, Lord, especially and specifically to them this morning, but Lord, that you would speak to each of our hearts through your Word, through your presence. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit desperately, so we pray that you would pour out your Spirit right now. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church and to hear your heart. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. You alone are worthy of all honor and all glory, all praise. And we just pray that you would be blessed as we, Lord, listen to your Word this morning. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Please be seated. And we pick up in Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Imagine this in modern times. It's the Sabbath today. Then it would be Saturday, sundown Friday till sundown on Saturday. Today's Sunday, a day set aside for synagogue to hear the reading of the Scriptures. It was depending on the guest expositor, who they had there, whether it was a Pharisee or a scribe, a guest teacher, rabbi, that there may or may not be a discussion of the substance concerning God's Word. There was no way to tell who was going to teach and what they were going to teach on. On this day, Jesus is in the synagogue at Capernaum. And as the Scripture is read, Jesus, remember, is given the opportunity to teach on that day's Scripture reading. And that's what would happen. They would read Scripture. They would read from the law, from the prophets, and from the Psalms. And then the guest of that day would then teach on what was read. The operation of the synagogues at this time was uniform. It's very interesting. They did have a structure as to what was taught on every given Sabbath at every synagogue that there was. And so every synagogue, anybody that would attend, no matter where they were attending at, would hear the exact same Scripture reading. The only thing that was different or not uniform was that not everybody heard the same teaching of that Scripture. In Capernaum, this day, it is interesting, but we have seen that the Word of God was teaching the Word of God, and those in attendance all got to hear it taught in truth. No doubt there was great entertainment in other synagogues, some great stories being told in others, liberal rabbis giving one interpretation and conservative rabbis giving another. The scribes were accustomed to the letter of the law while avoiding the heart of God for his people, the heart of the law. The Pharisees no doubt addressed the political aspects of Judaism versus Roman culture and Roman rulership, something that they despised a great deal. The same Word and Scripture, but very different offerings. Jesus, though, would teach the truth of the Scripture, because he is the truth. In fact, Scripture tells us he is the heart of prophecy in Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. At this time, many of the synagogues had become cold and dead. The synagogue in Capernaum evidently became a place where even a demon or demons felt comfortable attending. Astonishing. But Jesus, who, remember, as an example for us, was baptized by John the Baptist. And when he came up out of the water, we are told heaven itself opened up and the Holy Spirit of God came and settled upon him as of a dove, very peacefully and wonderfully, but empowered him for his earthly ministry. This We could say the account that Mark gives us is the very first Spirit-led synagogue gathering in history, and it had just happened. The kingdom of God breaking into the kingdom of Satan. The people who attended that Sabbath morning, it says, were astonished of Jesus' teaching. The word is ekspleso, and it means heartily, heavenly, exceedingly afflicted. It literally, the idea is to be pounded flat. They were hammered. They were torn to the core, blown away, and wiped out by what Jesus had just told them concerning the scriptures. Amazing. You see, it really is important that when the scriptures are read and when they're taught, that we're moved. In fact, they were convicted would be a term that we would use today in the church. Even the resident demon was made uncomfortable and began to screech out, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us?" Remember that? You are the Holy One of God. They recognized who he was. "Jesus, you're ruining the program here. You're telling these people the truth. We love the fanciful stories and the dead doctrine that has existed here for a long time." And the people that were there were blown away, not only by what he was teaching, but by the authority of the word, the authority by which Jesus spoke. Even the demon was moved by the authority. Literally, Jesus said, "Shut up and get out of him," and that's all that needed to be said. The reaction suggests that these people were running for the doors. They didn't know what to do in their astonishment and their amazement. They didn't know how to react because they had never heard anything like that before. The word of God being taught in truth. They didn't know where to go. They didn't know how to react. But as they exited the synagogues that day, it says that word was getting out about Jesus' fame. They were going around telling others about what they had just witnessed, what they had just heard, and it started to spread all around Galilee. You see, life and light had revived the synagogue in Capernaum that day because life and light was in their presence. He was there with Simon and Andrew, James and John. Imagine the excitement for these men, the wonder for what they were just hearing. It wasn't long before this that Jesus was passing by the Sea of Galilee and looked at them and said, "Follow me." And we're told that immediately they took up their nets, they just laid them aside, and they started following Jesus. They were starting to discover who this Jesus was and what they were called to do. I would have been saying, and if they were like me in that situation, "I'm with him." You know, you ever been in that situation? Glad you were with who you were with. So verse 29, it says, "Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John." Now ladies, you're expecting your husband home after synagogue, after church. And unknown to you, or unbeknownst to you, is that a word, unbeknownst? He got this bright idea to invite some of the guys to come home with them. Has that ever happened to you before? Now imagine in Jesus' day, there was no phone call to be made. There was no texting that they could do to pre-warn Mrs. Peter that there would be some extra guests coming home. Today, if we don't make those pretexts or pre-calls, we're walking into a bad situation, aren't we, guys? No doubt the house wasn't ready. The meal was, you know, the expectation of what was going to be needed for the meal had not been planned. But the hearty, honey, I'm home. And I brought a few guests with me, was certainly announced as he was coming in. But also, with the heart of this, you have to meet this guy that we've met. You got to meet this Jesus I've been telling you about. And so as they come in, it says, Simon's wife, mother, lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. Here is Miss Peter, or Mrs. Bar-Jonah. You know his name was Peter Bar-Jonah, right? Simon Bar-Jonah. Jesus changed his name to Peter. She was there taking care of her sick mother. Dr. Luke tells us she had a high fever, very common to that part of Galilee, interestingly, even today. Barclay tells us that Peter's mother-in-law was suffering from what the Talmud called a burning fever. It was and still is very prevalent in that particular part of Galilee. The Talmud actually lays down the methods of dealing with it. A knife that was made wholly of iron was tied to a braid of hair and then to a thorn bush. On successive days, there was repeated on day one, Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed, addressing certainly the fever. The woman was on the floor, and at that time, normal houses were one room, and there were mats that were rolled up that were then rolled out at the end of the day. And in the evening, they would lay on those mats, and no doubt this mother of Mrs. Peter, was laying on the ground in a fit of a fever. And so the fever being certainly affecting her, but not consuming her. And so we have that picture as they would address Exodus 3, verses 2 through 5, of the burning bush that was not consumed. And then Moses said, verse 3, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Then on day 2, they would repeat, so when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. And so they would start repeating that on day 2. And then on day 3, the Talmud said that they were to repeat verse 5. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Then there was a certain magic formula that was to be pronounced, and thus the cure was supposed to be achieved. Jesus completely disregarded all the paraphernalia of popular magic, and with a gesture and a word of unique authority and power, he healed the woman. Amazing. And we took a look at that. So much, you know, put into certain special incantations, things that man has made up. But we understand that with Jesus' authority, it took but a couple simple words, and that authority was exercised. I would like to make an observation. Have you ever wondered about Mrs. Peter? We come and are introduced to a great many people in the Scriptures that the Scripture doesn't really expound on very much. Who was she? Did she have any children? Any brothers or any sisters? You see, in that day, when a mother was sick or a widowed, it was the responsibility of the oldest brother or any of the brothers in succession from the oldest to take care of mom. And evidently, she did not have any older brothers or any brothers at all because she was taking care of mom, something that Peter absolutely had taken upon the family to do. What a day she is having. She's caring for her sick mother, and here comes Peter with a bunch of guests. You see, Jesus is going to touch her mother's life in a very special way that day, but what about Mrs. Bar-Jonah, what about her? What impact does this meeting have on her that day? Have you ever wondered that? You know, we often think about whether certain people got saved that came in contact with Jesus. I think this is a perfect opportunity to take a look at what happened to Peter's wife. We know how Jesus is going to touch her mother, Peter's mother-in-law, in a very special way that day. But was she touched by the presence of Jesus and meeting him? We know about the disciples and their relationships with Jesus. Did Mrs. Peter believe in Jesus unto salvation? Paul gives us insight, and if you haven't been through the scriptures and read throughout all the scriptures, you would miss this and not know, but 1 Corinthians 9:5, Paul says, "Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas?" And Cephas is the name of Peter or Simon Bar-Jonah. And so what Paul is saying here is some 34 or 40 years later, Paul tells us that Mrs. Peter is a believer who not only was a believer, but accompanied her husband often on missionary journeys as he would travel around and share the gospel. Isn't that amazing? And so we get some insight into who this woman was. Not a lot. One day we're going to get to see her. It'd be fascinating to find out what it would be like to be the wife of Peter. Or you could go down the hall and ask Beth. Probably has a very similar experience. But here's what I noticed. It's because Peter brought Jesus home. Peter's home was impacted. His wife was blessed. His mother-in-law is going to be touched and healed. And I was thinking about this. Jesus wanted to enter places of gatherings. He wanted to go to the synagogues. In fact, he was made a habit of it, just as Paul would do as he emulates his Savior and was going around on his missionary journeys sharing the gospel. In some of the synagogues, Jesus was welcomed. In others, like his home synagogue, remember in Nazareth where he started out? He was run out. They were trying to get a hold of him so that they could throw him off a cliff and kill him. He wasn't welcome in some synagogues. Kind of like the Church of Laodicea, where we're told that they thought that they were wealthy and had need of nothing, but Jesus said that they were poor, blind, miserable. And it said that Jesus stood at the door of the Church of Laodicea knocking. And knocking, and that word for knocking meant a constant rhythmic knocking, saying, "Let me in." What a sad picture of the church. To be a part of, he wanted to be a part of that fellowship as he knocked. And it seems that much of the church does not have an interest in Jesus today. The Word of God, that they're no longer astonished at the teaching and of the scriptures and the truth that it holds. And I wonder how many of us come to church to hear from the Lord, but this is the only place where we meet with him. This is the only place where we come to hear him. You know, Jesus visited synagogues, and some of them he never went back to. But nowhere in Scripture will you find him ever turning down an invitation into somebody's home. You know that? Always found in the sinner's home, in the taxpayer, you know, the tax man's home. He never turned down an invitation to come into somebody's home. You see, I know that this may be the only place some of you will ever meet with Jesus. But sadly, your home is off limits to him. Maybe it's because there's still a mess there, secret things that you're holding on to that you may not want Jesus to be a part of. It's easy to come to church and worship him. But is your home a place where he's worshiped also? Or do you have things there that are more important to you? I want to tell you, Jesus doesn't mind the mess. He wants to help you clean it up. The question is he welcome in your home? You see, he wants to touch others in your household as well as he has touched you in your own life. You see, it's more than just coming to church. It's about a relationship with him. Has he invaded every aspect and every part of your life? He's going to do that in Peter's home. Remember, he says, Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Dr. Luke gives us a little bit more of a picture. It says that he stood over her in command, and really the intention of the verbiage is in command and complete authority over what was going on with Peter's mother-in-law. He takes her by the hand, Luke says, and he rebukes the fever. And as he rebukes the fever, it immediately leaves her. The indication is Jesus spoke to the fever just like he spoke to the demon and the storm that day when he was in the boat with the disciples as they were preparing to cross the Sea of Galilee. Isn't this a beautiful picture? As he rebukes the fever, he takes her by the hand and he lifts her up. But not only is that a beautiful picture, I think the response of this woman is one of the most precious responses that you'll find anywhere in Scripture. It is very applicable today, or applicable. Is it applicable or applicable? Okay. On Mother's Day. Is that not the epitome of the heart of a mom? I can just hear her thoughts. And understand, this didn't just happen as they were coming home. The understanding of the verb tense is that she has had this fever for a number of days. But you can almost hear her thoughts as she was there on the mat, maybe not even able to speak, but those words that come in, I don't want you fussing over me. Do you have a mom like that? It doesn't matter how she feels, whether she's dealing with pain, but those words, I don't want you fussing over me. For me, I cannot remember. And I'm sitting down praying about this and going back at least the cells that are still left that can bring up memories of my young life and with my mom. I can't remember if she ever got sick. If she did, it did not stop her ever from being mom. I'm amazed at what my mom did for me. Mrs. Peter's mom is restored, and listen, the first thing she does is serve her home, serve those that are in the home. Doesn't that just blow your mind? And I realize I take for granted that my mom was the same way. We take for granted everything that our mothers do for us. Consider the roles mom probably filled in your life, just like in my life when you were growing up. She was nurse and counselor. For those of you that had siblings, she was referee. She was spiritual advisor, teacher, nutritionist. My mom took that seriously at points until she met so much resistance that she didn't do that. But anybody ever had, was it whey protein? Yeah. My mom got this great idea that instead of putting sugar on our cereal, we would have wheat whey or what? Wheat Yeah, whatever it was. It didn't work. She was accountant, transport manager, dispatcher, maid, often our entertainer. She was doctor, protector. For many, she was confidant, servant, activities director, in some homes, sheriff. And I started thinking, what do you do for that? What do you do for mom? Flowers, we buy them chocolate, and they always say, no, don't get me chocolate. And you know the whole time they're saying, yeah, get me chocolate. And it's okay to do that. Some will be taken to brunch or lunch or dinner. Houses are going to be cleaned. Plants are going to be planted. But have you ever really thought, how does one repay her for all that she is and all that she has done? Moms just give and give and give. What do you give mom? I remember, I was just thinking about when I was young, and it's a very vivid memory. And I was home. I wasn't in school. Maybe I was in kindergarten at the time and had a half day. But I couldn't find mom. And I looked all over until I went into her room, and I found her lying on the bed. I don't know if she was sick or if she was just down, but she was crying. And all I could do was ask her what was wrong. I had no clue what to do for her because all I remember was her doing for me. What could I do for mom? Now, understand, this was probably when I was about 5 or 6, and I'd already made it somewhat of a habit of getting in trouble, if you can believe that. Can you? And when I would get in trouble, mom started having me read a chapter of Proverbs. And I read through the Proverbs a number of times, I think, when I was a kid. Sometimes it was very serious time. But I can remember that there were times that the words of the Proverbs were very funny to me and we would laugh. But it was a time that my mother and I would sit down and be in the scriptures together because I was in trouble, but it was still a good time. And I don't know if she remembers that day, but I remember sitting on the edge of her bed trying to figure out how I could make mom feel better. I'd never seen this before. I had never seen her experience what she was experiencing. When it came to mind, and I thought, maybe if I just read her some Proverbs. Mom, how about if I read you some Proverbs? Because it seemed to be a time that was special for us. And I remember sitting on the side of her bed, and it wasn't long before she got up and was mom again. What do we do for mom on Mother's Day? It is a paradox for many of us, isn't it? Can we ever really do enough, any day really, to repay her for what she does for us? You see, what do we do to let her know that she is appreciated? And as I look at Peter's life and consider what Peter did, you know, there were a lot of things that Peter did as an example for us of what not to do, isn't it? I mean, Peter denied Jesus and fumbled all over himself. But in this instance, I think it is a great example for us this morning as we consider what we can do for mom. We can get them flowers, chocolate. We can work around the house, maybe make them a meal or take them out for the meal. I think they're all good things, and I believe that they're probably appreciated. I would hope that they're appreciated. I've got to tell you, moms, we come very short at really knowing what to do for you. Get them gifts. Just don't get them the gifts like pans and stuff like that that suggest that they cook for you, or don't, I've made that mistake before. But we can love on them. They're all good things. But I can think of nothing better to bring home to them than Jesus himself. Many of you are going to go visit your moms and call your moms, as Jim had said. Listen, when you do, take them Jesus. Because he's going to want to touch them and to hold them by the hand and lift them up. I don't think there's anything greater that we can do for our mothers but to exemplify Jesus Christ and what he means to us. Take Jesus to your moms today. I was thinking of what can I bring as a message that hasn't already been said, and I found it in the simplicity of what Peter did for his mother-in-law that day. Take them Jesus. And we're going to acknowledge our mothers today. I want, would you please stand up, moms? This is the fun part. Turn around. Oh. Go back and get more, because you're going to give them to mom, even if she's not your mom, if she's standing. Someone come up. Vicky. Victoria. Oh, okay. Oh, her mom. We have some more up here. Eli. We got some more over here, right here, in the back. If you have one, why don't you go ahead and be seated so that they know where to go, I guess, at this point. It might be confusion. Victoria, right here, Victoria, right here, Victoria. Over here. Olivia. Right here. We got two right here. One more right here. And then two over here. Over there. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? Over there, who's going to win? Today, on Mother's Day, we'll allow running in the sanctuary. Go! Awesome. You did good. All right. Make sure if the mothers down the hall that are serving... Can we make sure that the mothers down the hall that are serving get one? I think we're... Are we set? Okay. And then also I just want to encourage you. We're going to have a baptism after service today. We really didn't have sign-ups, so to speak. We just knew that somebody had desired to be baptized and others have joined in. And if the Lord puts it on your heart and you want to be baptized today, I can think of the second greatest gift that a mother can witness, and that is a child being baptized and acknowledging outwardly what Jesus Christ has done inwardly in their hearts. And so we just encourage you to join us as we witnessed some baptisms afterwards. But moms, thank you for all that you do, because I really, when it says that she got up and served them, it expressed the real heart of Jesus Christ that I believe that God has, that the Lord has given to moms, who said that I came not to be served, but to serve, the servant's heart. We love you. Thank you for all that you do for us. And would you please stand? The mom, you know what? Why don't you moms please stand again? Would you please stand? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord cause his light to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up his countenance unto thee and give you peace. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. We pray that you would bless them in a special way, Lord. And I just pray that you would help each and every one of us to bring Jesus into their lives, Lord. And I, even those that love you and know you, Lord, that we would be ambassadors of your peace, of your joy, of your love, of your grace, of your mercy. Lord, not to cause more agitation or frustration, but Lord, that just in your presence that they might be lifted up and blessed for all that they do for us. And Lord, may you be blessed by the hearts of our moms. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are truth, and that in your presence, Lord, that we can know these things and be lifted up too. And so bless our moms today, we pray, as we lift up our voices to you. I pray that you are well pleased with the fruit of our lips and the heart of worship. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and worship him together.